To each of you this morning, greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We gather in his name and we worship him this morning. The title of the message this morning is Finding Fulfillment in Motherhood. Finding Fulfillment in Motherhood. Now, right away, to most of you, especially on this side, there should be red flags waving because you have someone standing in front of you who is not a mother. So how can someone who is not a mother preach about finding fulfillment in motherhood? And in some ways, it was a difficult. And so I want to give credit where credit is due. I want to share that my wife gave her input into this as well. And so I appreciate that. I believe it is very fitting that we have a service like this, and we show appreciation for our mothers. And I'll leave it at that and follow in with the text of the message. The first point, I have it organized into two points, two main points. Now, point number one is motherhood, and point number two is finding fulfillment. Motherhood is the state of being a mother. Now, not all of you are mothers, but all of you are the product of a mother. A mother who has a child, or a woman who acts as a parent of a child to whom she has not given birth. Now, if you caught what I said there, you can be a mother even if you've never had a child, in a way. And so we want to honor mothers this morning in that way. While we recognize mothers on Mother's Day, we also recognize those who long to be a mother and for various reasons cannot bear children. You too can have a mother's heart and find fulfillment in that. And we also recognize those who have lost a mother and mothers who have lost a child. May God especially comfort you today. Days like this, I think of my own mother, and she has not been here for 25 years or so. She would be 84 years old, and so that does not seem that old. There's many 84-year-olds among us, but God saw fit to take her, and I think of her this morning and wish she was here. So this message is to the living, and it's encouragement to each one of us to appreciate our mothers while we have them, because one day you will have only memories. There's some quotes that I compiled and brought in from other sources. Motherhood is not a hobby, it is a calling. You do not collect children because you find them so cute. It is not something to do if you can squeeze the time in. It is what God gave you time for. Every girl and mother who makes and keeps sacred covenants can have a mother's heart. Righteous women have changed the course of history and will continue to do so, and their influence will spread and grow exponentially throughout the eternities. And finally, a partnership with God is motherhood. What strength, what purity, what self-control, what love, what wisdom should belong to her who helps God fashion an immortal soul. I believe this morning that motherhood, along with fatherhood, is at the crux of the satanic war against God. And I don't think I can overemphasize that. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And I know that mother is not used there, but that father's term can also include parents, also used at times for parents. "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." because there's another force that may take them. Motherhood is a ministry, then, that encourages and facilitates children growing up and choosing to live for Christ and His church, and discourages and hinders Satan's efforts to entice them to live for Him. So motherhood is at the very crux of this battle. Because Satan wants what you have. Satan wants to divert your attention and your desires and your interests and your heart and divert it to something else so that your children reach out to Him or go to Him instead of to Christ. Motherhood is under attack in our society. I don't need to remind you of that. But while Satan has always tried to destroy homes, it seems today he is making inroads that in years before he was unable to do because of the Judeo-Christian moral framework that was present. The assault of feminism and feminism's children, broken homes, homosexuality, and transgenderism has taken its toll on motherhood and on the homes of the nation. And I believe this morning, if Satan is successful in warping and distorting motherhood, he will have more success in influencing future generations of families to follow the easy road away from God and His Word. Point number two, finding fulfillment. Finding fulfillment. And I ask you to turn to Proverbs 31. And you know what this is. We've read this before, and I think I've even preached on this before for Mother's Day. Finding fulfillment. Fulfillment means achieving something expected, desired, or promised. Finding fulfillment. Achieving something that we always looked for. And isn't that what life is? To achieve something that you're dreaming about? Finding fulfillment. A mother. How can a mother find fulfillment? If you are a mother this morning, what brings fulfillment? What are you looking for? Those who are not mothers but are anticipating motherhood, what do you expect to do or to be to find fulfillment? Well, let's read verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, and she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, sewing machine, I suppose, and her hands hold the distaff. She reacheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. There's much that could be talked about here, and we could divide this up into different segments of what the author is talking about. I just want to draw some points from various phrases or various things that are given here. Number one is finding fulfillment in motherhood means first finding fulfillment with God. Finding fulfillment in motherhood means first finding it with God. And we see that in verse 30, all the way at the end of the chapter. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is the most important thing. Finding fulfillment, if a mother cannot find her fulfillment in God, what does she have to go on during the day to support her with all the things that press in on her? Fearing the Lord is foundational to finding fulfillment. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7 says, is the beginning of knowledge. Our fear of God, the proper fear of God is foundational to all I do, what I choose to think about, and the little decisions that I make throughout the day. Mother, are you a thankful person? That thankfulness comes indirectly or maybe directly from a fear of God. And that will, your degree of thankfulness during the day will determine a lot of things about how the day goes for you. Are you living in truth? Living in truth is directly or indirectly related to the fear of God. Pretty directly related. Living in truth, not living in some fantasy land where if only I was here or there or my situation was better or if I, whatever it is, that's fantasy. It's not where God has placed you. That all makes a difference in how the day goes. And yes, mothers are busy with so many things, but finding fulfillment with God comes first, even if communicating with God is done while multitasking, such as reading your Bible with one hand and a little baby in the other hand or whatever it is. But it is first, even if it's done while multitasking. Number two, finding fulfillment in motherhood means first finding fulfillment in womanhood. Finding fulfillment in motherhood means first finding fulfillment in womanhood. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." That seems to be a simple concept. Is it possible for us to complicate the simplicity of this statement? I can't help but think if this message, if I would have been preaching this 100 years ago, which is an impossibility, but I don't know if this point would have been made, if it would have been necessary to make this point. Maybe it would have been. Verse 10. Yeah, the first verse we read says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" Why would something of such high value want to be something else? If her price is far above rubies, why would she want to be something else? And we live in a culture where this is being twisted, where they try to reverse genders and all that. And if it's not a smack in the face of God, I don't know what is. Romans 9:20 says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" It dishonors our Creator when we do not accept God for who He made us to be. Our Creator knows more about what He wants from us than what we do. I think we know that. And so this becomes practical in things like asking a question here. Does it honor our Creator when mothers encourage their daughters to be tomboys? And I don't know if that's an issue here or not. Well, I think mothers need to be careful not to do that. Be careful what clothing you choose for little girls. Is it masculine? And I know this is subjective in a lot of ways to different scenarios. For example, a girl raised on a farm is naturally going to have some different abilities or tendencies than one that is not. And I think we understand that. But mothers need to encourage the tomboy types to be feminine. Gender distinctions are important because God said so. God said there was male and female. And I think I'm preaching a lot to this side, but this side I want you to hear too, and especially maybe on this point, because we could, everything that could all be reversed, and fathers in relation to daughters and things like that. Gender distinctions are important because God said so. God said there was male and female. And we need to honor that with the way we raise our children, especially in a world like we have. So finding fulfillment in motherhood means finding fulfillment in womanhood. Number three, finding fulfillment is not equal to being a superwoman. Now, Superman was just a TV character, and the Superwoman is the same. Now, I don't know that, maybe you don't even know what I mean by Superman, but I don't know what all he was either, but I think he could fly around and he could do things that were just impossible for a man to do. But I believe this morning that the Superwoman complex is not what God is asking for. Now, the reason I bring this in here is because sometimes we can read Proverbs 31, and we just read it this morning. And if I try to get myself into the mind of a mother, I'm treading on dangerous ground here, I know, but I think I would be overwhelmed at what all this says. How can you do this? How can I do this? And as I look at what I'm trying to do for my children, and I'm seeing what all this virtuous woman here does, and I seem to fall so short. But I'm saying this morning that a super, and this maybe is an explanation of a superwoman. And I want to do justice to God's word, but also want to be rational about where we find ourselves. I don't know if there's a woman that ever did all this. Maybe there was. There probably was. But it's probably not one of you. But maybe it is. Praise the Lord if it is, I guess. But I believe that reading this can give the impression that the secret to successful motherhood is being a Proverbs 31 superwoman. And I'm saying that that's not what God is asking for. But I believe it should be our goal. Instead of being a superwoman, God is calling mothers to a godly character and submitted to super Christ-likeness. That is a superwoman, if you want to use that term. A superwoman is someone who has a godly character and is submitted to super Christ-likeness. Number four, finding fulfillment in industry. And this is one of the concepts that comes through very strongly in this passage, the finding fulfillment in industry. It says, she seeketh, she worketh, she bringeth, she considereth, she girdeth, she strengtheneth, she perceiveth, she reacheth forth, she maketh, she delivereth. Are you tired yet? But I believe the secret is not in accomplishing all that needs to be accomplished, but a heart that is willing to be poured out in service, even if that's in pouring out that service it doesn't seem like much was accomplished. Does that make sense? Why does she do that? Because she loves the Lord and her family. She may have goals for beauty, for order, for a well-supplied pantry, for an organized and clean mudroom, if there's anything like that. But they all those things need to come secondary to loving the Lord and her family. Number five, finding fulfillment in marriage. Finding fulfillment in marriage. I shortened these. You could put the phrase in front of it. Finding fulfillment in motherhood means finding fulfillment in marriage. But I shortened it. Finding fulfillment in marriage. You mothers will find that your husbands are not supermen either. And our marriage is a joint effort, obviously. Going back to verses, to the text here, back to verses 11 and 12, says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will not break the trust of her husband. She will do him good. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. He praises her for her character and her faithfulness, which brings down blessings on the home. When there is faithfulness and when there's appreciation, it brings down blessings on the home. A home that finds frustration instead of fulfillment in marriage will bring a harvest of frustration and a reaping of bitterness. It is imperative that our homes, that our marriages, find fulfillment. Not that they'll be perfect. There's responsibility on this side, maybe more, almost more so. But if our homes are all they find is frustration, it will make it difficult to find fulfillment. But a marriage that finds fulfillment will bring a harvest of goodness and blessing, and I think that's what this text is saying. She will do him good, and her children and her husband are blessed, and call her blessed. Number six, finding fulfillment in child rearing. Finding fulfillment in child rearing. Verse 28 says, we just read that, her children rise up and call her blessed. This blessedness is a witness to the faithfulness of God, the influence of a godly mother with her family in Walmart. Speaks volumes in a way that is more powerful than my message here this morning. You believe that? I do. Because it's a sermon in shoes. Not just at Walmart, but I mean the influence of a godly mother in society. That testimony that comes out of that is very powerful. It is a ministry that is no less important than other church ministries, and probably more important because of the foundational aspect of it. Faithful mothers have changed history. George R. Brunk spoke highly of his mother. And if you just let your mind go back and wonder, if his mother would have not found fulfillment in God in intermarriages, I believe, she had more than one. First husband had passed away, I believe, or one of them had. I'm not sure which George R. was born from, but it doesn't matter. But if you let your mind go back and think about that, if his mother would not have been faithful, and the difference that would have made. George R. Brunk had a huge impact on the recent Mennonite church as we know it today. In the Sunday school lesson, we talked about, it was mentioned about Timothy's mother Eunice and her grandmother and his grandmother Lois, the impact that they had because of their faithfulness in child rearing. In society, having children ranks pretty low, in many cases lower than college, career, and travel, the American dream. All those things come first, and then children. The trouble is, the biological clock is ticking, and the woman finds herself at 35 years of age till she accomplishes all that, and now she's finally ready for children because she did all the other important things first. That is backward. Psalm 127, 3 to 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That's God's word this morning. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. It does not give any impression, therefore, for living the American dream first or accumulating everything or going and doing all you want to do, and then you go down and deal with children. It's not God's will. It's not what God wants out of our families. By the next year, $33 billion worldwide will be spent to prevent the birth of children. Over 42 million abortions occurred in 2020, far surpassing the totals of people who perished as a result of the world's leading causes of death. More than 61 million unborn children have died as a result of the Supreme Court's 1973 decision. It is ironic that on this very day of Mother's Day that there's being protests. And I appreciate Brother Gary's encouragement to let the news aside. I want to do that myself. But it's so ironic that on the day of Mother's Day, all these protesters who are the product of mothers, I just somehow my mind cannot connect with that. It's so sad. But how can this nation be blessed of God? And I'm not talking to, and I realize that I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but I think we all need an encouragement and a reminder of the blessing of child rearing. And may God bless you, mothers, for all you do. Why do parents have children? Closer home, why do mothers want children? Why do we want children? Is it to satisfy a biological urge? Is it so that we can take cute pictures of babies? It is our calling. Be fruitful and multiply. It is an indicator of faithfulness. Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? How does faith get carried on to the end of time? It's by having families. It's by having children and raising them. Faith is propagated throughout time by faithful mothers and fathers raising faithful children. In conclusion, a little girl's desire to be a mother when she grows up is a very worthy goal. But remember, just to be a mother is one thing. But to be a mother that has found fulfillment because she loves the Lord, loves her husband and her children, is a virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies. May God bless the mothers this morning. Let's kneel for prayer.